morning. Happy Sabbath. I was telling one of the deacons, it was too hot in here. And it's still too hot in here. But I asked him to open some windows, and then I saw him closing windows because some of you are cold. And I told him, you know what? That's okay. I think it's just me. I was telling Monty that special music came too soon. 2 Timothy 3:16. Scripture says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I like the doctrine part. I like to give Bible studies. I like the instruction in righteousness because I like to encourage congregation. But I don't like the reproof and correction part. And the Lord knows that. That's why I couldn't sleep last night. Two and a half, it was a pattern every day, and I didn't know if you saw me, but I had bags under my eyes, and I looked like a raccoon. Blame that on the Lord. And it all started every evening this way. Deep down, way out there, I started hearing about maybe 2 o'clock, my daughter. And it's a little voice, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And then it gets louder and louder because you're waking up. And you realize you're not dreaming. That is the truth. I'm here. My daughter calling for either Mommy or Daddy. And so sometimes my wife would get up. And if she gets up, I'm a very light sleeper, so I would wake up. And sometimes she would stay and I would get up. That was at 2, come back at 2:10, and then I couldn't go to sleep. Because the Lord talking to me, you need this, you need to say this, you need to say this. And I understand this, I'm not saying this. So, you know, because I've had people come to my office and said, the Lord has spoken to me. I'm not talking about that type of speaking where I'm hearing audible, you know, I wish I would. But no, it's a very strong impression. And what would happen is that my mind would just start going. What was happening is I was fighting the Lord. I say, no, Lord. And you know why? Because I like to be liked. I do. And I think you do too. And so here I am fighting with the Lord and saying, because He's putting 2 topics, and I'm saying, no, Lord. No, I'm not going to do that. So I struggled with that for a month. Last month, in one of the staff meetings that we have on Mondays, I mentioned this to Jean and Grace, and I told them, you know, honestly, this is what the Lord is putting in my heart, but I don't want to do it. I don't. And so we prayed about it, and I said, you know what, I'm going to do that. But that was a month ago. And so the Lord kept saying, you know, you really need to. And so it is with all humbleness in my heart and not to offend anybody here, but this is what the Lord has placed in my heart. House of God is what I titled what I'm going to be speaking about this morning. Where do we start? In the Old Testament, there's a word for reverence. Actually, it's used, there are two words for reverence. And the first word for reverence is this one that you're seeing, and it's pronounced Yare. It's a Hebrew word. And, you know, it's very hard to translate sometimes from Hebrew to English and sometimes from one language to another language. Sometimes it's very hard. And I don't know if you've seen it when somebody's speaking and the translator's here and the person that's speaking another language goes on and on and on. And then finally the translator's turn and the translator says, good morning. Because sometimes in another language, to say good morning, it means more. In Hebrew, sometimes it's like that. There are two words that are really, they occur and they are translated for reverence. Yare. Okay, this word is used specifically to express the attitude of fear. Fear specifically toward God. God Almighty, Yare. And there's a text that we use for that where it says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. And that same word is used in Leviticus 19:30 where it says, ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. There's another word that's used in the Old Testament for reverence. And it's the word shakah. The Hebrew word, shakah. This word carries the meaning of falling down. It's in prostration of the body. I mean, totally falling down and then putting the face toward the ground. And we see this word being used in 1 Kings 1:31, where it says, then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth and did reverence to the king and said, let my Lord King David live forever. So this word, shakah, has in its connotation, or the thought of this word is being in submission to a person. We switch to the New Testament. In the New Testament, there are three words that are used for reverence. Deus, phobeo, and entrepo. The first word that you see up here is the word Deus. This word has the meaning of awe and godly fear. It's a feeling of profound respect toward God. Which sometimes I see that we are losing that feeling of profound respect to God. This word, Deus, is used in Hebrews 12:28, where it says, "Wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." This reverence and godly fear should be aroused in us because of the fact that God is holy. God is the King of the universe. The second word that carries the thought of reverence is this word, phobeo. Okay? Most of you would recognize this word because this is where our word phobias come from. Phobeo. It carries the thought of being alarmed, being frightened. But by analogy, this word also means to be in awe or to have respect, a deep, abiding respect. When we were growing up, we were taught, and I know some of you were taught this way also when you were growing up, that we respect our elders. And I'm not saying elders in the church. I'm saying, you know, more mature people. In Spanish, like in French, we have usted and tú. Tú would be the equivalent of talking to a friend, somebody your age, you know, a buddy. Tú. And usted would be somebody that would be a person of respect, somebody older than you, somebody, a pastor, an elder, a deacon. Usted. And I see that in our society today, sometimes that's not the case. Oh, you old blanket, blank, blank, blank. Get out of my way. Phobeo. The thought of a deep, profound respect. We find this word in Ephesians 5:33 where it says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Now this is where this word is used. This is not a, ladies, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. And I'll tell you why. Because I think the Lord wanted us to have a cycle, a good cycle between husband and wife. The Bible says for the man to love his wife as Christ loved the church. Gentlemen, that is a major responsibility. One that we sometimes don't really take to heart. To love your wife as Christ loved the church. That he was even willing to die for the church. That kind of love. If you express that kind of love to your wife, she will respond. As she will reverence her husband. But it's not a reverence like, oh, thou mighty master type of reverence. I know that's what some of you would like, but sorry. It doesn't work that way. This is the reverence where the woman respects her husband. It's a profound respect. And if you notice, women need to be loved, men need to be respected. I mean, we need to be loved too, but for some reason, respect is very important to us. And God knew that. So this phobeo, this Greek word is used in this in Ephesians 5:33. The third word, entrepo. Okay? This word here has the idea of self-evaluation, of inferiority or superiority over someone else. Now, when the Bible uses this word entrepo, it's in the first case. We need to understand who God is, and we need to understand who we are. And trepo is used in this text, Matthew 21:37. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. You remember the parable? He sent helpers, and they threw them out. Some of them were stoned, some of them were, you know, hurt. And finally, the owner of the vineyard says, well, I'll send my son. Maybe they'll respect him. And you know the rest of the story. Hebrews 12:9 also says, furthermore, where this word is used, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. We gave them entrepo. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? And live. We have reverence, or we claim to have reverence for the name of God. We're commanding keeping people, right? One is. We're commanding keeping people, right? Amen. So there is a commandment that says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. You agree with me? So we claim that we reverence the name of God. We claim that we reverence the house of God. The house of God in which you are now sitting in. We reverence the worship of God. You are here this morning. I hope you understand this. I have our secretary change a lot of the wording, because after church, meeting after church, or a come to church, or the anything that says church, you know, I said, would you please change that word to worship? I don't know about you, but I'm tired of doing church. I come to church to worship God. So we reverence the worship of God. We reverence the attributes of God. God is merciful. He is holy. He is just. He is loving. He is kind. He is patient. We reverence the command of God. Now, understand one thing, that by reverencing the commands of God, that doesn't mean that we're going to be saved by the Ten Commandments, because the only one that saves us is Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So the response is a response of love that we give to God, for He is asking of us to do that. Not because we're going to be saved by them. So reverence is very, very important in our life. And we also reverence the Word of God. Remember when we were growing up, and it's still the same. We have our Bible. And if we ever put anything on top of the Bible, it was like, my mom would get on us. Because nothing is put on top of the Word of God. Why do you have so many Bibles at home? Because we can't get ourselves to throw one away, can we? I mean, we recycle everything else, but the Word... No, we don't want to recycle the Word of God. I would just buy another one, and if it gets old, then you put it in the shelf and you buy another one, and you have all kinds of worn-out Bibles there, but you don't want to throw them away. Not even if you close your eyes and do this. It's still... But it's not the book, it's what's inside that we should also reverence. It's what's inside. I like the fact that I could have my Bible, a complete Bible, on my phone. That's pretty cool. However, it doesn't take the place of having the Bible in my hands. You know, I hope we don't get to the day when I would say, okay, everybody turn into your phones on Matthew 7:25. We reverence the Word of God because it's very important in our life. There are places in our world, in the United States, that when you step into those places, you get a sense of reverence. You just have to be reverent. I don't know if you've ever been in those places. I've been at this cemetery. There is no way in the world that I would let my son or daughter run wildly through those stones. Why? Because when you're standing there, you don't know those people, but there's just a sense of reverence in that place. You step into a courtroom, and I don't know if you're just quiet or reverence because you know that the man or woman up in front has say-so. Has power. But when you step into a courtroom, everybody's whispering. I mean, as slowly as they can. And they're talking about things that relate to what they're going to be talking about. They're not talking about the football game or mechanics. Judge is going to kick him out if it goes off. reverence. You're joking and laughing, ha ha ha, you're going, ha ha, as soon as you walk in through a library, it's like, even the kids know. You walk into the library. Why does everybody whisper in the library? I've never been in a library like that. And I don't know if I ever will. But just standing here in front of him makes me want to whisper. It's a library. When my wife were in Hawaii and we went into the USS at the USS Arizona Memorial. There's another place at your reverence. And we had Michael, he was 2 years old. And we were like, trying to keep him quiet. And I knew the people would understand if he would, you know, give out a scream or something. But there was something about that place that told me, try to keep your son as quiet as possible. I stood in front of those guards that do this. The guarding of the tomb of the unknown soldier. I don't know if you've ever been there, but if you get an opportunity, go. But when you do go, if you have a digital camera, put it in silent mode, because even taking a picture, it's too noisy. That, you don't even want to do that. And you just stand there watching in awe. And everybody's quiet. Everybody's reverent. And all they're doing is taking 21 paces this way. Then they turn, switch the rifle over, and walk 21 paces the other way. And when they get to this, they do the same thing again, turn it, and then 21 paces that way. And you're thinking, well, are they going to do something else? That's all they do. And yet, you're standing there in reverence and in awe of what is happening. I brought the creed that these gentlemen take or make. And by the way, the tomb has been guarded continuously since 1937, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Why do they do this? Listen to the creed, the Sentinel's Creed. My dedication to the sacred duty is total and wholehearted. In the responsibility bestowed on me, never will I falter. And with dignity and perseverance, my standard will remain perfection. Through the years of diligence and praise, and the discomfort of the elements, I will walk my tour in humble reverence to the best of my ability. It is He who commands the respect I protect, His bravery that made us so proud, surrounded by well-meaning crowds, by day alone in the thoughtful peace of night. I should have read, surrounded by well-meaning crowds by day, alone in the thoughtful peace of night, this soldier will in honored glory rest under my eternal vigilance. They will walk, they say, they promise to walk their tour in humble reverence to the best of their ability. And what about the house of God? The place where God Himself is. Because He is here today. Do you believe that? Right now, He is here today. And you are not here to listen to a good sermon or a bad one or a boring one or a short or a long one. We often blame the speaker for something that we should blame ourselves for. Because when you come to worship, you're the one that is bringing something to God. So what are you bringing to the Lord this morning as you worship? And that which you bring to the Lord this morning, you prepared for during the week. Scripture says, but the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. Brothers and sisters, this place is not just another place. This place is the house of God. Yes, we sometimes feel ownership of it. Some of you spent many hours building and cleaning and doing all that, and it feels like it's yours. I'm sorry to say it's not. This is God's house. And sometimes we treat God's house like just another ordinary place. Reverence is a respectful, submissive attitude of mind resulting in affection and esteem for the person which is directed. In our case, it is God. And Jesus Christ Himself, the Holy Spirit. We call Him the Trinity, three in one. Paul was writing to Timothy, and in verse 14, of 1 Timothy 3, he says, I will go. I am going. He says, when I get there. And verse 15 says, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. And I hope you feel that this place is the house of God. The house of the living God, not the dead God. We're not here because we're guarding a tomb. We're here because we are in the house of the living God, the pillar of ground and truth. Don't be ashamed of saying we have the truth. Do you have Jesus in your heart? Then you have the truth. I am the truth, he said. I am the truth. Herod's temple, very interesting, and I don't know, maybe I had a project that I did at Andrews about the sanctuary, and they had so much reverence. You know, you read about the most holy place, but did you ever think of how they repaired it? This is Herod's temple. By the way, this second temple, it didn't have the Ark of the Testimony because the Ark of the Testimony was hidden. They hid it in a very secure place. So in place, they put a rock. And so in order to repair any wall, they would lower a worker, but it wasn't in a rope, and it had a box, so they could not see the inside of the most holy place. And they had a light, so all they could see was the place that they were going to be working and repairing. They had reverence for the house of the Lord. This is the house of God. We teach our pathfinders to walk softly in the sanctuary. Why do we teach them to walk softly in the sanctuary? Is it just to say? Because when you come to understand that Jesus Christ, that God Himself is here to meet with you, that should make a difference. A vast difference. Reverence is not just about being quiet. Found this picture where the lady is all, I guess, with a state of fear and all worried that the deacon is there, this offering time, and her husband is being very reverent because he's quiet. Reverence is not just about being quiet. Reverence is when we come to worship with all of our senses. I have a word for the elders and the deacons and the deaconesses. I'm a parent. I have two children. And you know, and some of you have seen them, that they have a lot of energy sometimes. I don't know what it is, but they like microphones. I don't know if they, for so long, have seen Daddy just being in front of microphones, that they want to do the same. I I'm teaching my children that the house of God is a very special place. And that they just can't run up here and start grabbing microphones and playing with them. It's the house of God. So, elders, deacons, and deaconesses, would you do me a favor? If you see my son or my daughter up here, I am giving you permission to please help me in the training of my children that this is the house of God. However, if you have not learned to do that in a Christ-like way, whose house is it? Then let him deal with it. Agreed? I want my children to grow up respecting the house of God with reverence for the house of God. And yes, there will be the occasional running through the aisle, and you know, kids have energy. You're not going to see a lightning bolt come down. It's not about that. But it's about gently reminding them that this is a special place. It's where you and I come together to meet God. Leaders, here at Valley View, we have a tremendous, tremendous building. And we have, you know, an opportunity. We have something that other churches don't have. We have a nice conference room. My personal opinion, it's not biblical, so if you say, it's not biblical, so we're not going to follow that, that's fine. You will find it in the Bible. Thou shalt not have meetings in the sanctuary. But if you do need to have a meeting with a group, I know the easiest thing to do is let's sit in the front of the sanctuary after the worship service. But I would prefer if we meet in the conference room. Just because sometimes, you know, as we get to talk, you know how we are. How many of us have we caught ourselves Sabbath afternoon going off on some topic that is not for Sabbath? Any guilty ones here? This is the house of God. The house of the living God. With all this wonderful modern technology, think about it. 15, 20 years ago, you're sitting in church. Where was your phone? At home. Right? Today, I know some of you have your phones on your in your purse. But we're worshiping God. And if I were to ask you, what's more important? For you to be worshiping God or answering a call that could be answered later on? what's more important. And you know, when we show our reverence to God, when we are giving Him full attention and worshiping. Having said that, I know that there are some emergency medical personnel that need to have their pagers or whatever they have on at all times. Just please have it in silent mode. Why? For me, the first reason, the major reason, is because I think when a phone goes off, it's irreverent to God Almighty. And two, it might be distracting for those around you. And three, maybe least important, is that when I hear a phone, it kind of breaks my train of thought. If a phone ever goes off, you watch me. I'm like, yeah. Does that mean that it's a great, terrible sin if one day you accidentally forget? And no, you're probably more embarrassed than the Lord, you know, putting another check. Aha, caught you. It's not about that. It's about reverence for the house of God. Let me get the right date before I give you wrong dates. 83. There was a gospel film titled Kevin Can Wait. I don't know if you remember that film. Kevin Can Wait. And the basic plot of this film is about a gentleman named Jim. Jim is a churchgoer. He's very involved. And one day he invites a lot of people to go home to a fellowship dinner. Okay? And David is also invited, and a football player, a college football player. And Jim likes to invite all the prominent people of the church. And David goes to Jim and says, "Hey, Jim, could I invite Kevin? Kevin is a mechanic. He's grubby. His fingernails probably have oil, you know." And reluctantly, Jim says, "All right, you could invite Kevin." What Jim does not know is that David is an angel sent to help him with this aspect in his life that he needs to work on. To be able to treat all brothers and sisters in the same plane and the same level. But here's what I can't shake from my mind. And I know that it was not a real thing. It was just a movie. But the angel, David, goes to church. And he sits down in one of the pews. And the person up here calls and says, "Now we're going to sing Holy, Holy, Holy." And the congregation starts singing, "Holy, Holy, Holy." And the camera starts panning the audience, the congregation. Some aren't singing, some are chewing gum, some are half asleep. Others are kind of singing. Others are singing. But when it comes to David, the angel, there are tears rolling down his eyes. I knew this was going to happen. Holy, holy, holy. Let's sing. Finally gave in. I said, Lord, okay, I'll start preparing to do that. And then I said, but Lord, what in the Bible? A text? And as soon as I said that, again, it's not an audible voice, okay? But in my mind, right then, Ezekiel 8. That's all it said, Ezekiel 8. That morning, I did not open my Bible to Ezekiel 8 because I thought, no, if I open it up and it's something that I myself, you know, thought up. So I didn't. As a matter of fact, I didn't even open my Bible for 2-3 days because the thought kept going through my head, Ezekiel 8. So when I mustered up the courage to look up Ezekiel 8, I didn't read the whole chapter. I just saw the heading of it. I closed my Bible. And I prayed to the Lord. Because the heading of Ezekiel 8 says, abominations in the temple. Read Ezekiel 8 and let the Lord impress you on how you should reverence this holy place. Let's pray. Father, holy is your name. I want to pray this morning that you may help us to understand. The awesome experience that we have every Sabbath morning to come together as a church to worship you in this holy place. Help us to treat it as your house. Help us to reverence it as your house. And not in a fanatical way, but in a way that will bring honor and glory to your name. Thank you. Be with us now during the rest of the holy Sabbath day. And help us to reverence it according to your honor and glory. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.